Our job is to win games, right? And help the team win. But, you know, 162 game season, you know, all the plays you had to make on the field, it's like you're not gonna win every one. You're not gonna hit that home run every game. So when you come home after a bad game or bad stretch of games, it's like you get to be a dad. And there's nothing better than that. Because, you know, you wake up the next morning, she doesn't care. You know, she doesn't care if I struck out four times. She just wants to go to the park, or she just wants to read a book. She wants to watch Paw Patrol, you know. And in those moments, you realize how simple this whole thing really is. You know, sports, they get us going, and we forget the simple side of life and the sport at times. And she's helped me a ton with that. She doesn't even know it yet, but she's helped me keep things simple and just remember, like, hey, you love this. This is you enjoy this. So yeah.
Welcome to What's Next with Eric Wood. Our next guest is Jesse Winker. Jesse's a current outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers and previously of the Cincinnati Reds and Seattle Mariners. He was an all-star in 2021 and got robbed from another all-star game in 2020 because of the shortened season, which we may get into in this podcast. But Jesse is a proud Bills Mafia member, so there may be some Bills talk mix in here today too. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you tune in weekly. And also, if you haven't already, go to Amazon and order my book, Tackle What's Next. It'll make a great gift around the holidays, and the link to that's in the show notes. Enjoy the podcast. Jesse, welcome to the show, brother.
Appreciate you having me, Eric. What's going on, man?
Hey, let's just start off this way. Of all the people that you've caught an opening pitch from before a Major League Baseball game, where do I rank?
The top, that was a big moment, man. That was 2019.
Yeah.
Man, that was funny. Yeah, you're at the top. I haven't caught many, so you're on the short list, but you're at the top of it.
Well, I appreciate that. I did train for it, and I had caught some advice from people. You know, I have a lot of buddies and friends in Cincinnati, and although that wasn't a sold-out game there, as far as people I was concerned about watching, they were all kind of hanging out in pretty close proximity. If I would have bounced that one to you, it would not have been good. It was a little high. You stood up and caught it, which I was kind of told, like, you're better off high where they can stand and catch it, but it's amazing how much you'll prep for something like that, just hoping you're not a YouTube sensation afterwards.
Yeah. You know, there's been a couple, like 50 cents, couple first pitches that have gone awry, I guess. But yeah, yours was great, man. You nailed it.
The mayor in Cincinnati was an epic bad one.
Yes. That another one. There's been some all timers, no doubt. You'll catch the, you know, you'll see a couple of good ones and then obviously some bad ones as well, but you're in the good category. It was a good one.
George Bush, post 9/11 Yankee Stadium, is that the all-timer?
For sure. It has to be. And then the whole story behind it, you know, it's just incredible. And then, you know, yeah, that's probably the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's dig in a little bit on your story. You go straight out of high school into the majors, redshirted you in the first round. I won't ask you if that was an easy decision or not. I would imagine as a first rounder, that was likely your plan.
Yeah, I wanted to go play. I wanted to start my career as quick as I could. I had a scholarship to Florida, which was obviously a great backup plan. And, you know, I wanted to get in the minor leagues because the way I looked at it, just the faster I started, the faster I'd get to the big leagues. That's how I always looked at it, you know. And then about 5.5 years later, believe it or not, I got to the big leagues. But yeah, man, that's how I looked at it. I was like, I want to get in and get going.
How tough is it as an 18 or 19 year old traveling around minor league ball with guys a lot of times that are a lot older than you? What's that like at that age?
Man, I had a blast. I didn't know any better, you know, but to show up and play baseball, that's kind of how I've always lived my life, and show up, play baseball and do your job. So I really enjoyed it. Obviously there's going to be some long bus rides. You're going to spend a big time away from your family, in some small towns, but luckily I always had a pretty good setup wherever I was at. And, you know, on the teammate side of it, I had a lot of guys that were older than me, but they had a lot of patience with me, And I learned some things along the way. So I'm thankful for all the guys that were teammates with me along the way and that will continue to be teammates with me.
There's a lot of people tuning in that aren't professional athletes and don't aspire to be, but they take wisdom from each one of these podcasts. Show up and play baseball. Show up and do your job on a daily basis. People get way too caught up in the minutiae of life a lot of times. Showing up and doing your job can bring you to an all-star game in the major leagues, and it can bring you to that promotion or whatever you're seeking in life. I love that little nugget of wisdom there. One more thing on the minors. I've heard that baseball players generally, in general, not 100%, but manage their money a lot better once they get paid because their time spent in the minors and learning how to live off of a budget. Was that the case with you?
Yeah, for sure. So luckily for me, I have a great, great financial advisor.
And you were a first rounder, so you come in with a little bit more cushion, but regardless, it's not like you popped into an NFL first round contract.
Right. And you kind of learn how to budget it just because, like, you know, you're 18, 19 years old. It's the first time I have an apartment. It's the first time I'm having to go to the grocery store. You know, you're not living in your parents' house anymore. So you're learning kind of on the fly about how to live your life, right? And you're kind of becoming an adult. And on top of that, you're kind of, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you're living like for that age, you know, in the off season, you can go to Florida or Florida State and go up there and you're like, wait a minute, like, it's a little bit different, you know? So it's a very interesting introduction to adulthood, I guess you could say. But yeah, you're learning all that stuff on the fly. And then obviously with the investment stuff, you're learning about that. And it's as far as you want to take it, you know? I always just wanted to go play baseball. So my guy kind of took it slow with me, but now I'm, you know, 29 years old. I kind of know a little bit of the ins and outs. I'm still not a pro by any means. Like I said, I really put this baseball and fatherhood stuff first, and I just trust the fact that, you know, at this point, nothing's gone wrong, so I'm good.
Yeah, you also entered the market at a pretty good time, so putting it into the market, letting a financial advisor do their job, that's what I recommend to so many of my former teammates when I was playing, is find a group of guys that you trust and let them do what they do best. We don't manage money. I wasn't a finance major. I haven't done my Series A and B, C, all that they have. Like, I'm going to trust them, find one that I do trust, and let them manage my money so that I can do my job. I like that as well on that approach. And I've also heard you talk in many interviews, and I love how your constant focus is your daughter, then baseball. It's like family, right? Baseball, and then everything else. And having your priorities in line is part of the reason you've been so successful. One of the most successful moments of your career is when you get nominated to the All-Star game in 2021, and you had only been up in the bigs, I believe, since 2017. So a lot of people would say, man, that was a quick rise. But then you talk about, well, prior you were in the minors for 5.5 years. And so talk to me about what that meant to get voted to the All-Star game, which, in my opinion, the Major League Baseball All-Star game, maybe the toughest to make in all of pro sports, because you have so many people coming from around the world and guys play for so long. You know, in football, right? Generally, you don't have the longevity, and we're just going against other American football players. Talk about what that meant for you to get nominated to the All-Star game.
It was, you know, for like a career milestone, like a personal career milestone. Obviously, it's at the top. You know, when you're in it, you try not to get involved with these awards. You know, when you're in it, you know, you try to keep your head underwater and you just keep going, right? But I remember about 2 weeks before the All-Star game, I kind of popped my head above the surface, and I was looking around, and you just kind of start thinking about everything it took to get to that moment. The practices, you know, I had a cage in my backyard in Florida, and all the swings I would take with my dad, and the games, and you think about your childhood. Travel ball teams. I was on this travel ball team that was unbelievable. And, you know, the head coach, Ben Nichols, he was like the first coach that really taught me this game and taught me that winning is why you're coming here. Like, you have to win. And, you know, you can't stop thinking about these moments. And it got really emotional for me. You know, at the time, you know, to go back to my daughter, she's one, and she got to see some really cool games that year. And then she got to be out there at the All-Star game with me. And, you know, in the moment, it was hard not to get a little, you know, caught up in the emotions of it, because it's like, I can't believe that was happening to me at the same time. So, it was a great experience. It was something I'll never forget. I got to enjoy it with a great teammate as well, and Nick Castellanos, and it was cool.
That's really special. I have a picture of me and my daughter at the Pro Bowl. And, you know, in the moment, you always think you're going to go back. I had no idea my career would end, you know, 2 short years later. I figured, you know, we'll be back and this and that. I'm so glad I got that picture of me and my daughter down on the field from the Pro Bowl. And very similar to you, we ended up bringing 14 people to Hawaii with us because I couldn't leave people out. I'm like, well, this person helped and this person helped. And wow, right. Let's just bring them all out there. And we had absolute blast. And that's really special. You got to do that. Did you feel snubbed in that 2020 season? You know, you're on the unofficial All-Star game, like internally, like within the organization, did you get any honor for that?
No, you know what? No, because like our goal was to get to the playoffs. And we had that year in 2020, we had a very dangerous team. You know, that's, if we get by Atlanta, we did lose those two games in Atlanta, but if we can make it by there, I think we would have had a shot. But no, I didn't really care because, you know, it was a 60 game season. And if I were to make my first All-Star game, I wanted it in like a regular atmosphere with my family that was able to, you know, be there and everything. So I didn't feel snubbed. I was just happy that, I was starting to put some things together and felt like I was helping the team. And then I was starting to feel good about some progress I was making as a player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, so this offseason, a lot going on. Traded to the Brewers, 2 offseason surgeries. How's the rehab going this offseason?
Yeah, the rehab's going well. Had a cleanup in my left meniscus and then a disc replacement surgery in my neck. I'm super, super excited about being a Milwaukee Brewer. It's a city that I've gotten to experience baseball there, and it's an amazing place to play. They got amazing fans, and it's also a very, very good baseball team. And I'm just looking forward to coming in and doing my part.
That's great to hear. You're heading into a contract year this year. Is there any different mindset shift where you're either a little more amped up for this year, or hey, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in, I got to perform at a different way than I have the rest of my career?
I think I'm going to go with the latter, where obviously, look, it's the first time I've ever experienced being in a contract year. So it's something that I'm obviously aware of, but you know, every year I really try to perform well. This isn't something I take lightly. Like I've always wanted to be a really good baseball player, no matter what level, no matter what age I was. So I don't think that's going to change by any means. I'm looking forward to the opportunity of being a Brewer, but the contract stuff, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help the team win games. And I found that, you know, being a part of winning baseball, which we have in Milwaukee, it's something that I've always dreamed of. So all the numbers and stuff, I kind of let that take care of itself. I've never performed well thinking about numbers anyway. So I don't think I'm going to really go down that road too much.
Yeah, I like that mindset a lot. In the NFL, you'll often see guys get paid after they play good for 1 year, and then they kind of fall back off after they get paid in free agency. It's the guys that have had consistent success, and then generally their organization keeps them, and there's a reason that they kept them in the first place. But yeah, I'm with you on that mindset 100%. You talk about not getting wrapped up in the numbers. You play a sport. I like talking to baseball players about this because, you know, if you succeed at a 3 out of 10 rate at the plate, then you're essentially a Hall of Famer if you play long enough. If I go 3 for 10 pass blocking to start an NFL football game, I'm cut. I don't even finish the game. And so it's right. A different mindset. I understand there's different probabilities of success involved with that. But in not getting wrapped up in the numbers, how tough is it when you're on a slump, let's call it? How tough is it mentally during those stretches?
Oh, man. You just want to figure out why, I think, is the thing. You just want to figure out why, because I've always believed I can turn it, you know, no matter how I'm feeling, whether I'm banged up, injured, sick, whatever, I feel like you can always change it. So you just want to figure out why. And sometimes that's the worst thing you can do, is go down the rabbit hole. You start doing this, doing that, And then before you know, you got a huge pile of at bats where you're like, damn, that's not me. That's not how this should have gone. But it's always a learning curve. You're always, it's constant information. Every day is somebody different on the mound. Every 3 or 4 days, it's a different team. You're playing somewhere else. And it's just, it's constant feedback, and it challenges you. It challenges you physically and mentally. I football and baseball, it's two different grinds. You know, football is obviously brutal. It's a brutal game that you played and those guys play. Baseball, it's like the long-term grind. You know, your body's going to break down and break down and break down. So it's interesting. And I think mentally you're going to get challenged even more. So it's something that you want to stay on top of. You want to, I have found outlets that have helped. Obviously raising a daughter has challenged me, both ways as well. And that's a great outlet for me. It's something that, you know, it's not as simple as a 2-0 fastball or, you know, hitting the cutoff man or making a play. You know, two nights ago, she had an ear infection and she didn't sleep at all. And I was like, oh my God, there's no answer for this right now. There's nothing you can do, you know? So it's funny how I'm kind of rambling, but it's funny how these sports lessons, you can take them to fatherhood. And then there's something like an ear infection where it's like, you know, I called my parents and they're like, yeah, just sit tight because until you can get her to the doctor, there's nothing.
I know it. And there's no manual for raising kids either. And we have a rule in our house, like the kids don't come in our bed and sleep. But this morning I was woken up to a big old 4-year-old curly haired boy who probably has an ear infection as well. He has a fever right now. And so you just get up and go and got my workout in and got prepped for the podcast anyways. And so it's kids can be a constant challenge in life, but there's no better blessing. And I believe the reason you went there and talking about the slumps is like, once you have kids, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, because we are very appreciative of the ability to play professional sports, but sometimes those missed at bats, sometimes a missed block here and there, when it would keep me up at night, all night after a game, it didn't quite have the same effect after I had children. Now, I wanted to go out and perform and put food on the table and be successful and set an example for them more than I ever had. But maybe I didn't dwell on maybe some of those mistakes. I don't know if you had that same feeling.
No, for sure, man. That's kind of exactly where I was headed with it. It's like, you know, our job is to win games, right? And help the team win. But you know, 162 game season, you know, all the plays you had to make on the field. It's like, you're not going to win everyone. You're not going to hit that home run every game. So when you come home after a bad game or bad stretch of games, it's like, you get to be a dad. And, there's nothing better than that. Cause you know, you wake up the next morning, she doesn't care, you know, she doesn't care if I struck out 4 times. She just wants to go to the park, or she just wants to read a book. She wants to watch Paw Patrol, you know. And in those moments, you realize how simple this whole thing really is. You know, sports, they get us going, and we forget the simple side of life and the sport at times. And she's helped me a ton with that. She doesn't even know it yet, but she's helped me keep things simple and just remember, like, hey, you love this. This is you enjoy this. So yeah.
That's really special. Speaking of like them not caring or knowing whether you won or lost, in 2017, we started out 2-0, Sean McDermott's first year, and my daughter and my wife would come in. My body feels like a train wreck the morning after a game. They'd come in the bedroom. They kind of like pile on me. We'd be goofing around, play some music. And that was like our Victory Monday routine, because we got to go in a little bit later on Mondays after a win. And the third game, we lose to the Panthers. And Grace is like, no, we're playing music and we're having fun. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, we're just, yeah, it's kind of a Victory Monday as well. Whatever. We're going to move on. And I was like, man, that's great perspective. I was asking about slumps, and I was going to ask you afterwards what superstitions you have. Baseball players are known for their superstitions. Do you have any that you carry? Dano's and Pabst Jerky is bringing you a spicy collaboration to deliver a Southwestern punch of flavor with Dano's Chipotle Jerky. This is an all-natural, no-sugar, high-protein, and low-fat snack perfect for an active lifestyle by giving you the fuel to get through your next big adventure. Available now at PabstJerky.com.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I do. I love listening to music before games. What else are like? I don't have anything. Like, I don't play with anything in my pocket. I don't wear my socks a certain way.
You don't have the Sean Casey pre-bat routine.
Everybody does that. You know, you leave the on deck circle the same because we do it so many times. If I were to tell you you're going to do something 650 times this year, you're probably going to do it pretty similarly. You right. know, like you're going to do it that way. So yeah, I leave the on deck circle the same. Oh, I do something. I before every at bat, we have like my grandfather used to say something. He said "Yajabot." I don't know the exact meaning of it. Everybody in our family says it. I want to say it's a Polish saying. My grandma would know. But I say that before every at bat. It's like a little, you know, hat tip to him. He was a good man. But so I'd say something like that. But everybody has something. And it's funny because if you go to a baseball game, it's the first thing you're going to see. Obviously, I jump over the line as well. Yeah, I have a Red Bull now before games. I'm trying to think of what else. I like to wear white cleats and white batting gloves. I like to match.
Do you like the white cleats because they make you look faster on TV?
There's nothing I can do to make myself look faster.
We always used to joke that all the players wearing white on film looked a lot faster. Like someone would be running with like, man, that dude's moving. We're like, well, he does have white cleats on. So it just something about like seeing the feet turn over in the white.
I'm going to wear them more now.
Yeah,
I don't know how many people are gonna. Everyone's just gonna be like, "Yeah, man, you're still slow." So
that's hilarious. That's funny. All right, let's switch gears just a touch. You moved away from Buffalo when you were 7 years old. Was it ingrained in you at that point, like you're already gonna stay a Bills fan?
I was born into it. I wasn't allowed to like another team. You know, growing up, I didn't have a baseball team. I kind of just like baseball players, but the Buffalo Bills were like the one constant in my brother's lives. Like we're Bills fans. That's it.
Yeah. And you were born kind of right in that Super Bowl run. So
yeah, born in 93. So obviously growing up, I heard all about the glory days for my parents of the Bills. And it's great because now they've really turned this thing around. And being a Bills fan is special because I'm going to kind of speak for the masses here. They've been through, I think as a sports fan, anything you could have gone through besides a championship, Buffalo Bills fans have been through. So it's cool to see the excitement in the city and to see where the team's at now. Cause it's a fun team to watch. And, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So when you were old enough to kind of fully understand what was going on, we hit the longest playoff drought in professional sports. But when Sean McDermott came to the Bills, he gave all the guys on the team a platform to go up and speak to the rest of the team. And, you know, you kind of share your story. We got to know each other. But I ended mine by showing the Chicago Cubs celebration when they basically took over the city of Chicago, when they finally got that World Series. Guys have their shirts off. Everyone's partying. And I showed that to the team and I said, when we win one, it's going to be way bigger than this in Buffalo. It's going to be the biggest party. It's going to be a week long. And just, I don't know what you're driven by, but if you need something like this to drive you, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, no, it's something that when they win a Super Bowl, wherever I'm at, I'm going to the parade and however long the celebration is, I'm going to make sure to be a part of that because you have to. Right. You just have to. It's like a life thing at this point. All I've known is Buffalo Bills football. And if they win one, it's going to, like you said, it's going to be unbelievable. So, my dad and mom, they still have the VHS tape of the Oilers game that they were at, you know, the comeback, when the Bills did end the drought. I was at the Dolphins game. And I was driving up back to Orlando and we had to pull over because Dalton threw the touchdown. Everyone was so excited in the car.
Wow.
Went to the game in Jacksonville. But yeah, man, it's been a great ride as a Buffalo Bills fan. And I'm looking forward to, you know, a lifetime more of football games.
I always joke with Bean, but I'm not fully joking that I'm his security. Like when the Bills win the Super Bowl, starting at the party after the game through the parade, being just, I'll dress up in a suit if you want me to. I'm just going to be your security and ride along right next to you. But last year with the Mariners, they had the longest playoff drought in all of pro sports, similar to how we'd had it at the time. I know how special it is when you can get that monkey off your back, especially for a city. And from my understanding, Seattle is a passionate for sports town in general, but passionate about their baseball. How special was that last year?
Yeah, it was really cool to be a part of. There's a lot of guys that had outstanding seasons to really propel that team into the playoffs. You know, obviously Julio had his rookie of the year season, and he's an unbelievable talent. Suarez had a great season, and then there was other guys that really stepped up in their, I think it was either their first or second full seasons. Guys like Cal Raleigh, and to name one of a few, that they just had really outstanding years, and it was cool to be a part of. I wish I could have helped more, but it wasn't about me in that on that team. It was about a group ending a playoff drought, and you know, it was definitely cool to be a part of.
Yeah, I guarantee it. All right, I got a few recurring questions for you. First one, do you have a favorite book?
All time favorite is Great Gatsby. And I've said that before, and everyone's like, wow, he hasn't read a book since high school. Really? I just, you know, I'm a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan. And when they did the movie, I was just like, all right, I've reread the book like five times. And I was just like, this is great. But I just finished a book. I guess it's going to be my favorite one because it's, you know, recency bias. It's called Against All Odds by Alex Kershaw. It's a World War II book. It pretty much follows four different guys in World War II. And, you know, I love World War II books. And it's just, you know, it was really cool to read because I think I don't want to forget everything it took as a country to get to this moment. And so I like to go back in history and check out World War II. It was a brutal war. And it's a good book. I recommend.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out. I've read a number of military books. Love the perspective that you can gain from different military books. I'm going to have to check that one out. What role does your faith play in your life?
Ooh, that's a really good question. You're catching me at a time where this offseason I wanted to kind of get back in touch with my faith more. My daughter, when she's in Florida, she goes to this little school right around the corner, this little Christian school. And I've gone to church with my mom once, actually two times. But I want to get a little more spiritual for sure. I do pray to God. I try to pray every night. But it's something that I think I could be better at and learn more about. And I'm right now I'm in the process of learning more. And so I'm definitely open to anything you recommend on reading. I have a book that was recommended to me by a friend of mine here in Orlando. I believe it's called The Reason for God. I believe that's
the case book. For Christ.
Yeah, that's another one as well. But I think this one's The Reason for God.
Gotcha.
I have to read it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend The Case for Christ next. Lee Strobel, who's a Christian apologetics writer, was an atheist, and he set out to prove his wife and her belief in Christianity wrong, and then ended up falling in love with Jesus and being a rock star Christian and a pastor now, one of the most influential people in spiritual, in that area of work, especially his book. So I'd recommend that one as well. And I may forward you a couple over as well. An easier one for you. What was your first car?
Ooh, a Camaro.
Nice.
That signing bonus we talked about. I bought a Camaro. But like my unofficial first car was my brother's Mazda Protege. He was drafted by the Dodgers, and he left his car at my parents' house, so I got to drive that my senior year of high school. I didn't get my license till I turned 18, so that was my senior year. I was a little bit older my senior year of high school, so yeah, that's the car I drove.
That's cool. What's your favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant? I have to go with Joe's Stone Crab. I'm on a Stone Crab kick right now. I'm a big fan of it. My brother actually just brought some Stone Crabs up for Thanksgiving. But yeah, Joe's Stone Crab.
What what's your favorite wing spot in Buffalo?
Anchor Bar. I know it's, I have to go Bar Bill as well, but I say Anchor Bar because it's the classic, and I have their hot sauce down here.
Gotcha. You're a traditionalist. I'm more Bar Bill than Anchor Bar, but you're a traditionalist. I'll give you that. All right. Last one for me. What's next for Jesse Winker? This is what's next with Eric Wood. What's coming down the line for you though?
Man, I'm left field in Milwaukee and I'm looking forward to it, man.
That goes back to your just play baseball. I love it.
Yeah. I try not to get too far down the road. Cause I don't know what tomorrow brings, you know? But Milwaukee left field. That's what I have my eyes set on right now. I'm looking forward to being a part of a great team and then hopefully getting to the playoffs again.
Man, well, I can't thank you enough for your time. I'm glad this offseason of rehab, two surgeries for a pro athlete in one offseason, is not what you want to have happen going into a contract year, but I love your mindset around it. I love that it's going great for you. I can't wait to see you at a Bills game here soon, brother. Thank you so much for your time.
Are you going to be down? Are you going to be there this weekend?
I will be there. I'm at all of them calling the games. And as long as the lake effect snow they're calling for doesn't keep me out of there, I will be there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear about that. But, yeah, I'll be there. I have sideline passes as well. So if you're down there before the game, it'd be great to see you.
I'll meet you there. Thanks, brother. This episode has been brought to you by Jordan Yoakum at Tom James Company. Jordan is my clothing guy, and I get everything from him, from custom suits and dress clothes to casual wear. Let Jordan do the shopping for you to save you precious time that could be focused on your family, career, or hobbies. Jordan can work virtually with anyone in the world, and if he cannot personally get your measurements himself, he will have someone come get them for him. If you have put on the quarantine 15 like many have and your clothes aren't fitting properly anymore, he can also make adjustments to the clothing you already have. There's a certain confidence that comes with having clothes that fit perfect, and let Jordan give you that confidence. You can contact him by email at jordan.yoakum@tomjames.com or visit his website, LouisvilleCustomClothing.com. Contact info will be in the show notes.